Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
The Kansas Jayhawks get blown out of the NCAA tournament in historic fashion. And now here comes the heat. Subpar recruiting, a weak conference KU benefits from every year, and a pending NCAA probation are all topics of discussion. We also ask the question, when will Kansas play its next NCAA tournament game? The Royals send Bobby Witt Jr. to the minor leagues. The reason? He's only played second base for a couple of weeks. This all seems reasonable, and it's also exciting. The Royals are actually sending major league caliber players down to the minors. That is a great sign of things to come. In politics, former Missouri Governor Eric Greitens is running for the U.S. Senate in Missouri next year. I'm hoping somebody better will come along, because I think Greitens is doing this more for redemption than actually for the job, but we'll discuss that. At the White House, a memo leaks from the communications team making sure everyone knows that it should never be referred to as the Biden administration. It's the Biden-Harris administration in bold letters. What the heck is going on, and does Sleepy Joe even know what they're doing to him? Television talk show host Ellen DeGeneres is losing millions of viewers. I think it's because she apologized at the start of a new season for doing something most people just don't even know what she did or didn't do. This is such a strange one. On KKHI, brought to you by Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs. They have an award-winning service department there. Even if it's something minor like an oil change or a tune-up or new brakes, not a huge job, they'll come get your car from you, work on it, repair it, and bring it back to you. It's free service. Just give them a call at Roberts Robinson anytime. You really should get your car serviced at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC. Online at robertsrobinson.com or visit their dealership in Excelsior Springs. Check out a great selection of pre-owned vehicles as well. We don't talk about those as often with all the great products that Chevy Buick and GMC are building right now. We don't talk about the great inventory that he has of all types of makes and models. They'll get you qualified if you need to, or if you got a teenager looking for a first car, great place to shop could be Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet Buick GMC in Excelsior Springs, and online at robertsrobinson.com where you can shop, click, and drive. Fry Orthodontics, 12 locations in Kansas City for your convenience. The first appointment's free if you mention KKHI. You're never too old to perfect your smile. At Fry Ortho, your smile is just the start. If you're an adult, you'd like to look into Invisalign, go for the consultation and get with Dr. Jeremy or one of his other great doctors at one of their locations and say, how can you fix my smile to make me look better, feel better, and be more confident? They'll do it for you at Fry Orthodontics, and they're simply the best with teenagers. You need a place to be kind of fun, you know, kind of relaxing, kind of fun for the kids. My daughter went through this at Fry Ortho, and they did. They made it fun. I won't say she looked forward to going there because, you know, braces aren't all that fun, right? But they make the experience meaningful and worthwhile. And they're going to make you laugh while you're there. They're going to make you feel comfortable. And ultimately, she's got a great smile for life. And we thank Dr. Jeremy just for that at Fry Orthodontics, online at fryorthodontics.com. And Elite Automation, designing and installing intelligent building systems that can save you thousands off your utilities. I'm telling you, folks, if you know somebody with a building, you need to make this call to Elite Automate. Even if you're not buying the new control system, the consulting work that they do can save you thousands. If it's not your building, if you're just like a general manager or the manager of a warehouse, a school, a church, or you're an administrator at a church or a school, make this call, get them out, see what kind of money they can save your operation. You'll look good to your owner and your boss. It doesn't cost you anything to make the call and have them out. Call Brad or one of his team members at 913-766-2188. That's 766-2188. Elite Automation is online at EliteAutomate.com. If you mention the podcast, Elite will provide 12 months cloud hosting absolutely free. What's your building costing you? I know this. Elite can save you money. Online at EliteAutomate.com. All right, Kansas gets blown out in historic fashion. Postmortem coming right up on KKHI. Hit it!
Sports, politics, life. Buck Roofing presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
One of the interesting things about doing this podcast over the last 6 months is how much I have learned about audience responses to some of the podcasts. You get instant feedback on how many people listen, what time they listen, where they listen. things like that. And so it's kind of come to mind as I get ready to do this one. It's always been all you can do when somebody's really good in sports, like Kansas is just typically year in and year out very good in college basketball, to not overreact when something just disastrous happens, okay? And that's happened. We're going to get into that. But it kind of occurred to me as I was preparing for the podcast, this may not get the biggest numbers of any podcast I've done because the headline, obviously, is Kansas losing in the NCAA tournament by 34 points, the biggest defeat margin in Kansas tournament history. And we know this. You wouldn't see it as much in radio. You certainly see it in podcasting. You'll see in the numbers that a lot of Kansas fans will just decide, you know what? I'm not hitting the play button on that one. Because, and it's, I don't take offense to that. That's not me. That's not necessarily me. It's not a columnist for a newspaper or a radio host or anything like that. There will just be Kansas fans at this point that check out from it. I would sort of equate this to, and I had this discussion with many people on Saturday at the patron party at Chicken and Pickle. One lady described to me that she thought she was like literally clinically depressed after the election for several weeks, that she, her whole life was just set back by the fact that Biden had defeated Trump. And I've heard many people say they were in a fog or a funk after the election. They felt that. It's the same thing in sports. And I know that there are a lot of Kansas fans really hurting today. So I wanted to preface all this by saying it is always my intention to take a deep breath, slow down, and not overreact to what I've just seen. In this case, you know, one of the things that I've talked about for years, I don't think the Big 12 does Kansas a lot of favors. I think the league has basically just rolled over and allowed Kansas to do whatever they want. We now know an awful lot of evidence and statistics and things about Kansas and recruiting and things that they've done. I firmly believe that if the other coaches, the other programs wanted to work with the NCAA, they could probably give all kinds of stories and information to the NCAA about Kansas and actually be doing the league a favor. This league, by and large, has just rolled over and allowed Kansas to have it because, to be honest, most of this conference is simply interested in football and staying out of trouble in basketball. And if they make the Sweet 16, great. And if you do better than that, awesome. But Texas loses to Abilene Christian, and you know what? Texas loses to Abilene Christian. Let's move on to Matthew McConaughey's benefit concert. Football season's here. It's spring football, and life goes on. So Kansas has been the one program that really desired, really, really, really desired to be great in the Big 12. And I think a lot of places simply don't challenge that. I often point to Oklahoma and Joe Castiglione hiring Lon Kruger. Lon Kruger was essentially a retired basketball coach at UNLV. He was living in the desert. He admittedly said he was playing a lot of golf. It was good for his health. He was just going to take this lower profile job than the NBA jobs he's had or the big jobs he had in college basketball. And he liked to coach the kids. He liked to teach basketball, but that he just maybe didn't have the drive that he once had. And so there was Lon Kruger, and he was doing fine at UNLV, and Joe Castiglione wouldn't take no for an answer. Lon Kruger said, no, I really like it here in Vegas. I got this low profile thing. No, I'm good. And he offered more money, and Kruger still said, no, I'm good. And Castiglione essentially convinced Lon Kruger to leave UNLV for Oklahoma by saying, look, it's the same thing here. You're second fiddle to the football program. You're not going to feel pressure. The boosters aren't going to be breathing down your neck. Just come do your thing. Live your life the way you want to do it. Don't cheat. Don't get us in trouble. All right? Win some basketball games. Make the tournament here and there. And everything's good, Lon. So he essentially set him up with a big contract at a school like Oklahoma to say, it's just fine to come in and lose to Kansas. That was the mandate from the start. And I'm not even saying that's wrong for the Oklahoma Athletic Department. But when a conference operates like that, and so many schools are so focused on football, and, oh, sure, it'd be nice if we could beat KU. Wouldn't it be great, you know, if we could do this or do that? I mean, we've got a situation with Bruce Weber at Kansas State where he's won two league titles, two league trophies, and some K-State fans want him out. And I'm like, okay, what are you going to do with a guy who's up against Kansas' best teams, most prolific lottery pick players, the stretch of all those seasons of winning the title? Kansas State got in on that twice with Bruce Weber. You think you can do better than that? Did I read it right? This was Baylor's first conference win since 1950? I mean, some crazy stuff going on here in this conference. And that really kind of bubbled to the surface while watching Kansas play USC in the round of 32. Kansas was never a factor in this game. But let's first of all state the obvious. USC is not that good. Okay? They're not 34 points better than Kansas. So this was, no matter how you describe it or what you say, this was a night. Okay? This was a special night. I don't like hearing coaches say it. I don't mind guys like me saying it or you saying it or other people. I don't like hearing coaches say it. And Bill Self said it after the game because it sounds a little sour grapes. But I commented to my wife, about 15 minutes to go in the game, watching the game. I said, you know, Kansas got really unlucky tonight because USC is not this good. They're not. USC is good. And those Mobley brothers are good. They're not that good. Okay? And Self pointed out right after the game, look, Isaiah Mobley hit his first 4 3-pointers in the first half last night. He made 12 all year. I mean, that's a stat. That's a number. That's a fact. All right, so USC is good. They clearly have gotten better, and they're playing really good ball right now. Their length and size really bothered Kansas. So ultimately, that was it. And look, it wouldn't have mattered if he made those threes or not. When you win by 34, I haven't run the numbers, but I'm going to guess they could have made no threes and still won the game. That's possible. They were blocking shots. They were altering everything at the rim. McCormick, after the great second half against Eastern Washington, was, you know, totally punchless in this game. And you have to credit the Mobley brothers for that. Evan Mosley was terrific down low. Isaiah hit the shots from the outside. Their little guard hit a couple of floaters driving into the lane. It was shocking to watch them. Here's how you know they're not that good. They made all these shots during the game, but they can't make free throws. I mean, USC is like a bad free throw shooting team. So, look, here's what I take away from the game last night. Kansas, and I said this going into the tournament. Nobody wanted to hear it. Nobody wanted to hear this. I believe Kansas overachieved this year to get to a 3 seed. They were overseeded. These teams maybe should have been flipped. Maybe Kansas should have been the 6, and USC should have been the 3. That becomes, you know, problematic a lot of times with the seedings. We all complain about who got in or who wasn't seeded right or this or that. And those things a lot of times are just irrelevant. You watch the games play out and you make determinations based on what you see in the NCAA tournament about what a team was over the course of a season. And what Kansas was a team that finished strong by playing great defense, winning some lower scoring games, and beating up on teams in the Big 12. They did not win the Big 12. They did not win the tournament. They did not reach a lot of their goals. They missed the Sweet 16 again. I think this is 4 times in 7 years they haven't made it out of the first round, the first weekend of the tournament. So none of these are good things for Kansas. But a big part of this is the conference. All right, if Kansas is able to be, they're certainly not a top 12 team. All right, that's where they were seeded. As a 3 seed, you're seeded as one of the top 12 teams in the country. Kansas is not top 12. We know that there are teams all over the country that have NBA players or star players or guys that can go off for 25 points or do whatever. Kansas doesn't really have that guy. They need that guy. The best Kansas teams have had that guy. This one does not have that guy. So we've known that. So if Bill Self, just by coaching defense, getting guys to buy in, defend, and rebound, is able to win 9 out of 10 down the stretch in the Big 12 and become a 3 seed in the NCAA tournament, that's good for Kansas, but it says a lot about the Big 12. It truly does, and it says to me that Kansas is not a top 12 team this year. I don't know if they're top 20, to be honest. They've got some real deficiencies offensively, and normally the calling card is defense and rebounding, but we saw a good rebounding team in USC. That's one thing you can't take away from me. You know, those Mobleys, one of them 6'10", the other one 7. Their arms are long, they're athletic. While they're not big, they're not built stocky like football players or anything like that. The rebounding was just incredibly hard to watch for Kansas fans in this game. They didn't stand a chance. I mean, Kansas on the boards didn't stand a chance in this game. They're not long enough. They're not tall enough. They're not long enough. And that is recruiting. That's, you know, the Johnnies and the Joes, not the X's and the O's. It has nothing to do with coaching. It's my guys are better than yours. And USC's guys' rebounders, as shot blockers, as athlete defenders, are better than Kansas. That showed up a lot in this game. So a 34-point loss is the worst. It was not a great season for Kansas basketball. I don't think when you lose this bad, you could chalk any of it up to COVID. I know a lot of people are going to say, well, they had the COVID thing the last couple of weeks. Yeah, okay. A lot of teams dealt with stuff like that. They had everybody available in this game. I know Wilson wasn't going to play a ton of minutes, but they had everyone available. And I think Kansas ultimately overachieved to get to a 3 seed. And I think they got exposed in this game for, look, as I said, USC isn't that great. They don't shoot that well, all right? Kansas isn't this bad. So it was that night. It was. And a lot of that's on Kansas. A lot of that's on Bill Self. I know he said it after the game. He says, we didn't coach well enough. We didn't do that, but we got to make shots. At this point, the question is, how much embarrassment can one school take? The AD and the football coach have both just been run off in scandal. The NCAA is investigating. It's going to be bad. I can say this with a very high degree of confidence. I do not know when the next Kansas basketball NCAA tournament game is going to be played. I think it's going to be a while. So if this is the one you go back to, and this is what you remember from being in the tournament, let's say Kansas gets a couple of years where they can't play, or if Bill Self gets a show cause, which he may, he could be in real trouble. I mean, there's absolutely a possibility. Again, no overreactions here. Just the possibility exists that that was Bill Self's last game at Kansas. That's a possibility. If I go to KUSports.com, I like reading Matt Tate and a lot of the things that I see at the website there, and I was reading it after the game. And then they have the comments from the readers down below. And again, look, I'm not big on the comments. I don't read the own comments that I get on Twitter and things like that. I just don't. But I do like reading with the newspaper sometime because for some reason that seems to be a little better than social media. Maybe they edited it. I don't know exactly how it all works, but it's not as vile as social media. And the very first comment there is, will the new athletic director have the guts to fire Bill Self? And I'm like, that's an overreaction to a basketball game. That's a fan after a game that read a story and is overreacting. I get that. But it does ask the question, will the new AD have the guts to fire the coach? I've said all along, they're not firing Bill Self. He's going to have to quit. Or the NCAA is going to have to determine Kansas' situation to be so dire under Bill Self that they mutually agree to part ways. These things are all in play. We don't know what Kansas is going to get hit with. We don't know how much they're going to blame Bill Self, but he's been charged with the major violation. He is in control of the program. He's in control of everything. Ultimately, the buck stops with Bill Self. We saw the text that the FBI had. We've seen some of the information and things that are out there. I think he's in real trouble. I do. I think this process, this critical case unit, the way they're turning these things over to outside investigators, I think they believe the mandate from Condoleezza Rice is we have to target the coaches, not the schools. If we want to clean up the sport, we have to clean up the coaches. And the way you clean up the coaches is penalize them and not the schools. We'll see if that starts to transpire. I think it may. Bill Self is not a quitter. I don't expect him to just up and resign and say, you know what, I'm done here. I'm moving on. I'm not an expert on the NBA, so I don't know what jobs would be out there for him. But he could go to the NBA. I don't think there's any question at all that the NBA would take him. Somebody would love to have Bill Self be their coach. I don't know that he wants to do that. I think college basketball is his game. But we'll see how it plays out. It's been an awful lot for one school to digest with all of the problems that they have going on. And it is a legitimate question. It's a legitimate possibility, not a high probability, a legitimate possibility that that was his last game. I don't think it was, but it may have been. And if you're Bill Self or if you're Kansas and you get 2 or 3 years probation and you can't play in the tournament, he's just going to coach there and coach the team with no chance of going to the tourney? It would be very awkward, wouldn't it? I don't have the answers. I don't know what his grand plan would be. He said many times he's not coaching into his 70s like we see with Boeheim and Krzyzewski and some of these other coaches. He says, I'm not going to do it. He wants to live life. He has a lot of great hobbies and interests and things that he does that maybe other coaches don't have. So I don't know. I just know that that was an embarrassing night for Kansas basketball. in the grand scheme of things, it's sports, and so it's not really embarrassing. It can happen to anyone. We're just so unaccustomed to seeing that happen to Kansas. And there's just no question that the recruiting isn't where it was. He's talked about this. It's obvious. Let's just be honest here. It is obvious Kansas was paying basketball players to play there, and they are not doing that now. It is obvious. It's the hand in front of you that that's what was going on, and they no longer do it, and it's made a difference. Their recruiting class this year, the one coming in, if you're looking for help on the way, because the weird part was they just flat got out manned by a football school. Like, well, those Mobley brothers are usually the guys you see at Kansas, and they're not there, and it's happening everywhere. Kentucky missed the tournament. Carolina was down. Duke is down. So we're seeing it at all these powerhouse schools. Why are the players not going there? Why? I think college basketball is as clean right now and has been the last couple of years because of the FBI as it's ever been in my lifetime. I think the money has dried up. I think some kids can go straight to the G League and move on at age 18 and not go to college. I think it's going to become a more pure sport as a result of all of this. And now you see Kansas ranked number 22 in the country in recruiting. That's what they have right now. Has Bill Self ever had the number 22 recruiting class? Has that ever been what he's done? Right now they're number 22. That just seems so foreign. And you have to ask yourself why. And I know that a lot of people for a lot of years, well, oh, yeah, you know, so-and-so from Virginia or New York or Chicago, they dreamed of playing at Allen Fieldhouse. Man, I don't know. I think the best players dream. Well, I know this to be a fact. The best players, teenagers, the best players in basketball in America don't dream of playing anywhere in college. They dream of making money playing basketball. That's absolutely 100% correct. I will argue with anybody against that. When you're 15 years old and you're a prodigy and you're good and you know you're getting recruited by everyone, you don't even want to go to college. You just want to go be LeBron's teammate or play against LeBron and make a whole bunch of money. It's about money. And it was a pretty good system for them all for a while. If you can get $150,000 for your parents and go play 1 year of college basketball somewhere and your parents get set up and you have all this money, that's a pretty good deal before you go on to the NBA. That's a really good deal before you go on to the NBA. Those deals aren't happening. They're not happening. And Kansas is number 22 in recruiting. And they, again, it was just outmanned. It was shocking. Other comments below the story at kusports.com included, how are we going to amp up recruiting? What will the new AD do with Bill Self to help amp up recruiting? Well, you're amping down recruiting right now. That's what this whole NCAA and FBI thing was about. And you could see it coming. And I had a lot of people take me to task for it and say, oh, it'll never change. Not that you can't clean it up. You can't do anything. You can't this and that. I said, well, it's real easy. In my opinion, it's always been easy. If college basketball, if the NCAA is serious about cleaning up the sport and remaining an amateur sport, you go after the coaches. You don't go after the programs and the schools. You go after the coaches. They will police themselves at that point. They don't want to lose their jobs. These jobs, you get paid a lot of money. It's great work. It's a ton of cash. They don't want to lose their job. So if you target the coaches, they'll restrain themselves. They will. And I think some of that is working. The other comment section where a lot of Kansas fans responding after, and again, it could be an overreaction for this one game, but I do think there is something to this. The dialogue, the discussion, the questions we're being asked is, are Bill Self's teams softer now than they were a few years ago? Sometimes this is generational with players. Maybe the game itself is getting softer. I mean, I don't see Gonzaga as a real physical team. I think they can. They're aggressive. They play aggressively. They play quick. But they're skilled. We see a lot of teams that play that way. But as far as just tough, just flat out, you know, street tough, we're going to maul you. No, this was not Bill Self's best team along those lines. I think a lot of Kansas fans missed that. The flip side of that was all the comments that I read of, we need to get away from that. Okay, this needs to become an offensive basketball team. That the teams that are in the Sweet 16 right now did it with offense. They did it by scoring points. They did it by shooting threes, by running the floor, by dunking the ball, by having faster players. And that's accurate. I mean, you watched Oregon win its game over Iowa. Holy smokes, did they look great. I mean, Dana Altman's really something else. This is five Sweet 16s at Oregon for Dana Altman in 7 years. Five of the last 7 years he's in the Sweet 16. His team's loaded up with transfers. He just went out and recruited last offseason in this transfer portal and brought a bunch of guys in. They're clearly better at the end of the year than they were at the beginning of the year. Oregon's just a nasty team to have to play as a 7 seed because at the end of the year, they weren't playing like a 7 seed. They've gotten better. USC, I mean, you could see the athleticism with those players. It's out there, and teams are scoring. The teams that are scoring are advancing in this tournament, and it probably isn't as much about toughness and defense and those things as it once was. And a lot of Kansas fans are asking, what's Bill Self going to do about this? Could he hire a new assistant coach? Could he bring somebody in to, you know, work on the offense a little bit, see if they can't come up with something a little more new age, a little more current? A lot of questions being asked about Bill Self, and I you know, it's legit. He's been there a long time. He's won the national title, but he just lost by 34 points to a football school from the Pac-12. And that doesn't sit well with Kansas fans. It doesn't. It was horrendous. There's no sugarcoating. It was awful to watch. It was absolutely shocking to see them just kind of fall apart that way. But I would just leave you with this thought. Predict for yourself. When do you think will be the next NCAA tournament game Kansas plays in? I think the reasonable guess would be 2023. That would mean 1 year next year that they're banned from the tournament. But I talked to a lot of people that think with five major high-level violations that it's going to be at least 2 years out of the tournament and maybe three. So I don't know, but that's going to leave a bad taste in their mouth for a while for Kansas, which is now searching for an athletic director and a football coach. Wow. Okay, on to baseball. The Royals take Bobby Witt Jr. and send him to the minors. I think this is the right decision, and I do not think this is about service time. You know, if Bobby Witt Jr. stays down for a few weeks and then comes up, the Royals get one more year of service time in 7 years, 6 years from now, right? Okay. But the Royals don't really do that. What they did with Witt was they moved him to second base, and he's only been doing that for a couple of weeks, and Dayton Moore said it pretty plainly. Is it really fair to put pressure on a kid and bring him up to play a position that he's only been playing for 2 weeks? So they're going to send him down, but they also want him to play third base and shortstop in the minor leagues. So I think he's going to get a lot of defensive rotation the first couple months of the season before he comes up. I think he'll be up this year. I do. I think Bobby Witt Jr. will be up this year, and maybe a lot of this is on Nicky Lopez if he hits. If he doesn't hit, this is a pretty simple move. I mean, the Royals could put Witt at second base and replace that bat, or you could put Witt Jr. at third base, move Hunter Dozier to right field and Whit Merrifield to center, and you've just made your lineup better. So there's two weak bats in the lineup right now, Michael Taylor, the center fielder, and Nicky Lopez, the second baseman. And if Bobby Witt Jr. takes one of those spots, and he doesn't have to be great to be better than those two guys. I mean, I don't think anybody questions whether Witt Jr. would be a better offensive player than those two. He will. So he will help the Royals. What do you lose defensively with Merrifield in center field instead of Taylor? You may lose a little bit, but not a lot. Not a lot. And it might be predicated on whether Dozier wants to move to right field or is, you know, willing to do that sort of thing. We'll see. The Royals have a lot of options here. They have a lot of players that are going down that are big leaguers. This is the best sign yet. If you want to know, are the Royals getting better? It used to be the Royals filled their roster and went north to start the season with at least four or five players that didn't belong in Major League Baseball. They're minor league players. And the Royals had them. And you always knew who they were. It was the fourth or fifth starter in the rotation. It was a couple of long relievers in the bullpen. And it was a backup infielder or outfielder. Like, wow, how's that guy got a roster spot? And they had that all the time. Now what you have is you have Bobby Witt Jr. going down. He's a big leaguer. Sorry, he is. Jacob Junis, I don't think has made the team yet. Chris Bubich got sent down. He was a starter for the Royals. He started 10 games for the Royals last year with an earned run average of like 4.2. Not horrible. He's going down. There's no room for him here. I mean, that's the best sign ever. If Jacob Junis is fighting for a roster spot and Bubich went down, how much better is the Royals pitching? Starting rotation will start Brad Keller, Brady Singer, Mike Minor, Danny Duffy. Not in that order, although Keller gets the opening day start. That's my rank. That's how I rank them. Brad Keller's my fave. Brady Singer's my second fave. Mike Minor has to be better than Danny Duffy, and then Danny Duffy is fourth. They're going to start with a four-man rotation. They'll add a fifth starter in the middle of April. They go a couple of weeks before they need a fifth starter, and they'll make the decision on that. Irvin Santana's still on the team. I don't know if he's going to stick. He's got a chance. Junis and Santana could be long relievers, and if one of them gets hot, maybe they become the fifth starter. We'll see how it plays out. The Royals are also said to be talking to Adalberto Mondesi about a new contract. They've already signed Dozier. They've signed Sal Perez. They've signed all these players. Whit Merrifield, they're just doing this thing right and left. It's just been amazing to watch. And now we think Mondesi may be next. Mondesi would be crazy to not take a deal if the Royals offer it. He has not fully arrived yet as a player. He should take the deal the Royals are offering. It'll be guaranteed. It will be big money. And the Royals will stand by him. They really, truly believe in the kid. Do you guys remember way back, 2013 maybe, 2012, Ned Yost was asked about Mike Moustakas, who was hitting 180-something. And he said, we've never been wrong about a player. Moose is going to be fine. We've never been wrong about a player. And I thought it was one of the most arrogant things I'd ever heard. I'm like, really? He's watching this guy hit 180-something and convinced this is all going to work out. Well, it did. And Moustakas went on to set a Royals postseason home run record, and the Royals won the World Series, and Moose has become a free agent and made money after that, all those things. So Ned Yost was right. This is what's in play here with Mondesi, and it's driving Royals fans crazy because Royals fans have this love-hate thing with Mondesi. They don't really get it. They're like, the guy's too psycho. You know, for me, it's Duffy. Duffy's the one that's too old and has had a contract given to him to be as much of a psycho player as he is. Mondesi's still pretty young, so I can live with it. And I do believe that the Royals almost always get these things right and that the player does come around and turn into what they think he will be. If that's Mondesi and the Royals get him signed to a four-year contract or something like that right now, it's going to wind up being a glorious deal for the Royals, and Mondesi should jump at it. So a lot of moving parts, but man, I'm just encouraged by the fact that there's major league talent in the minors for the Royals. I think that's kind of a big thing and kind of an exciting thing, I guess is just the way I would describe it. I love seeing stuff like that. I guess the Chiefs were a factor in this as well. The Kenny Chesney concert has been postponed again at Arrowhead Stadium. So it's out, which is unfortunate. I like Kenny Chesney. I was going to go to the Kenny Chesney show. That was going to be fun, but that is not going to happen now. It's COVID-related. You know, they tossed this thing down the river last year because we were right in the height of COVID. Now they say COVID, but this is really about money. This is a concert where like 50-some thousand fans go and several bands, and it's expensive, and it generates a pile of revenue. And Kenny Chesney does not want to show up and say, we have a limitation of 15,000 people at Arrowhead Stadium for my concert. So it's about money and it's about image. And until he can pack the place, he's not going to do it. And so I think the Chiefs might have been up for it. Now, it was one of the earlier dates at Arrowhead. It was May. But I'm sure there were places on his tour in blue states where they just weren't going to allow it. And he knew that. And so here we go again with the Kenny Chesney shows. Back to the back burner. Got the friends, our friends, the Cato's, boy, they are, woo, Miss Tina is not happy that Kenny Chesney is not going to be performing. Really, really, really not happy. KKHI is brought to you by Back9Development.com. Online, Back9Development.com. TJ is a great project called the Solheim Condominiums at Grandmere on the Colbert Hills Golf Course, beginning at $249,000, one and two bedroom models available, upscale. Beautiful pool, clubhouse, elevators, covered parking. It's all unique to the Grandmere area. Contact TJ at Back9 Development today if you would be interested in getting information on committing to a condo. The first building is expected to be move-in ready prior to the kickoff of the first football game this fall. It is Back9Development.com. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park, the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Great service, great selection, small family business, and you're going to feel it when you walk in the door. Non-commissioned sales reps, Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. Bstock.net, Chris and the team at Bstock sell electronics for 30% less than you can get them anywhere else. You can buy them online no matter where you listen to the podcast. Go to the website, B as in boy, Bstock.net. Samsung TVs, LG, Vizio, Apple computer products, Dell, HP, Lenovo, all massive discounts over Best Buy and Nebraska Furniture Mart. Don't spend your money at those other places. You can see some of the great prices online at bstock.net. When you go to the outlet store, you save even more because now they don't have to ship it to you. 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. The only way to buy electronics, bstock.net. And my friend Stacy Higgins from cbd-gc.com. Stacy was kind enough to be at our patrons party last Saturday. We handed out sample bags of these really great USDA organic products. Some folks were raving about them. A couple of the patrons have already had the products. Well, one gentleman says he's sleeping better using Green Compass CBD. The website is cbd-gc.com. cbd-gc.com. There's no middleman here. These are grown organic in North Carolina by the company Green Compass. Only 2 years in business, they doubled their sales to $22 million last year. This is about to be a $20 billion industry. If you would like to sell Green Compass CBD, contact Stacy for a little side hustle. You can work at home, or you can make it your primary career if you're looking to do something like that from home. This is a ground floor opportunity with a new company that's really growing, and I trust and believe Stacy and Danny when they tell me these are the best CBD products anywhere. I just do. So if you'd like to learn how to make money doing that, contact Stacy, 913-961-3881. That's 961-3881. I think I'll have Stacy on a podcast after baseball season starts. We're going to start doing some, you know, the name of the podcast is Sports, Politics, Life, and we haven't done a lot of life. But we started at the beginning of football season, and I've always kind of viewed the sports calendar year here like an 8 or 9 month calendar, because once the Royals start, sports becomes pretty slow for about 3 months. Yes, the Royals are playing every day, but that's it. It's only like one team. The schools aren't playing. The Chiefs aren't doing much. Football's out. So we're going to do some other things in the summer months, and I think that would be a good one. Have Stacy on to talk about what she knows about these products and how they can help people. She's an expert in the field, and that might be kind of cool. See what she has to say along those lines. And I'm getting a lot of great suggestions from many of you as well. Well, another mass shooting, this time in Colorado. That's back-to-back weeks we've had mass shootings. This one's just a rampage at a grocery store in Boulder. The authorities are holding the name of the shooter. There's a photo of them carrying him out. He was bleeding. I usually am pretty good with words and have a lot to say. I've yet to figure out why this happens or how this happens. I had thought in my mind for years, I don't understand. I know the tragedy of suicide, and I know how it affects young people, and I know how bad it's been this year because of COVID. The suicide rates are up. Depression, especially in young people, is up. We took them out of school. It changed their lives, and it's had a very negative impact. Everybody sees the numbers and knows that. And I used to say things like, you know, if you were going to kill yourself, why don't you go, you know, do something dramatic? You know, again, since I don't understand depression, I don't think that's the way people that are suicidal think. But there has to be something. I've never heard anybody draw a correlation between these mass shootings and suicide. There has to be some sort of parallel or connection. I mean, don't you almost have to be suicidal to go do it? Don't you, if you're doing it, and maybe you're just so out of your mind, you're not thinking at all, but if you go do something like this, aren't you expecting to die? And isn't that, you know, the definition of suicidal? You know, we've seen the suicide bombers, the terrorists and things like that, and the way they act. Well, it's pretty hard to stop. You know, terrorism is hard to stop if the person willing to commit the crime is willing to die, especially if they think they're dying in honor. That's a hard thing to stop, a very hard thing to stop. I don't know. I don't know why these things happen as much as they do. I know they turn it into a gun control. The left, the media is going to turn this into one of two things, either gun control or race. That's what they'll turn it into. I just think there's deeply disturbed people out there, and I would like to know, I think we need to find out more about these people and how to identify them before this happens. I mean, every single time this happens, there's warning signs. There are. With either the location that it happens, there's warning signs that there was a problem there, or the person that does it, there's warning signs. And yet people slip through. Maybe the country's just too big. Maybe we just can't keep an eye on all these folks. I don't know, but it's just such a tragedy when this happens. The police officer lost his life. Just awful. Just horrendous. Eric Greitens, the former governor of Missouri, says he's running for the Republican seat in Missouri, Roy Blunt's Senate seat. Roy Blunt has announced he will not be running for re-election in 2022. Eric Greitens has announced he is. Greitens is an imperfect candidate. He was elected governor. There was a sex scandal. Much of the reporting was wrong and had to be retracted and corrected. But Greitens, the things that he did, he did. He's simply claiming it was consensual. It's typically the things that were described that he did, even if they were consensual, are not the kind of things most Missourians are on board with, to be honest. Greitens can probably win this seat. We had John Sunvold on last week, and I brought up with John Sunvold, I said, you know, if you ran for Senate, you'd win. And I just think about the difference in the person, Eric Greitens, and the difference in the person, John Sunvold. And this falls into the category of, we don't get our best people running for office. We tend to get people that are narcissistic, simply driven with the power or the title that they can get. It's not necessarily about serving or doing great things for the people. You know, all you have to do is look at the Biden White House and you know this is what's going on. Joe Biden is not president for the people. He's not doing anything for the people. I'm not sure he's doing anything. A memo's been leaked by the White House communications team that states very strongly, going forward on every correspondence, every communication, every interview, do not refer to this as the Biden administration. This is the Biden-Harris administration. That memo's been leaked. So why did Joe Biden want to be president? I don't think he wants the job. I don't think he wants to put in the work. I don't think he's doing it for the American people. He wanted his name up on the roster. And I would ask this question. If we're seeing things like memos that this is the Biden-Harris administration, who's determining that? Because Joe Biden didn't call his comms team and say, hey, you know what, let's put Kamala's name on everything. He didn't do that. They're just doing it, and he's going along with it. I think I know who it is. I think it's Barack Obama. And I think his lieutenants are scattered throughout this administration, and he's telling them how this all works. And the people at the top are just the puppets. I do think Obama probably likes Kamala Harris a lot. A lot. And I think he wants to see her be president. And I think it's all in the works. But you know what? It doesn't seem to matter. Everything these people do is predictable. You know, we've talked about it. Every single thing that they do, we predict. We know what they're going to do. And it's unpopular with Americans. In some cases, crazy unpopular, like 80% unpopular, except there they are and they're still doing their thing. And so here's more of it. And they're going to push Kamala Harris on us. Nobody wanted Kamala Harris to be president. Nobody, nobody, but we're going to get it. It's probably the same thing with Greitens. I think some of it for him probably is just, you know, I want to get my name back. I want to prove that people were wrong, but there's a lot of ego involved in this. He's got every right to run. And maybe Greitens becomes a great senator. Maybe he wins and becomes a great senator. I just thought it was interesting, just a few days after I asked such a good man in John Sunvold about the possibility of running for a position like that, he's like, I'm not getting dragged through the mud. No thanks, they'll just make stuff up about me that isn't true and I'm out. And then you have Greitens basically saying, bring it, whatever you got, I don't care. I'm trying to remake my image and my name, and he's going to run for that Senate seat in Missouri. From Hollywood, Ellen DeGeneres, who I've always liked. I think she's funny. I think she's unbelievably likable as a broadcaster. I always say about broadcasters that are likable, they have something that I don't have. I don't have like this innate or inherent likability quality to me. Part of it is the nature of what I do. It's many times telling people something that they don't really want to hear. I'm not just bringing you the bad news. It's just, you know, here's what it's real. Here's what it is. I always liked Ellen DeGeneres. I've always liked her. Well, she came on for season 18 of her show Ellen, and her first episode was an apology. I still haven't figured out what she's apologizing for. There were some former workers on the Ellen show that said she was a tough boss, a nasty boss, a bully, or whatever. I'm like, okay, is there more to this story? Did she hit somebody? Did she sexually harass somebody? Did she pinch somebody? What was her crime here? And the crime, according to these former staffers, was that it was just too hard of a place to work. I'm like, what? Too hard of a place to work? Ellen was too demanding and wasn't as nice as she is on TV. So these people must have thought, oh, sweet Ellen, I'm going to go work for Ellen, and Ellen's going to be as a boss just like she is on her TV show. Yeah, that's not how it works. No, that's not Hollywood. That's not show business. That's not how it works. Running the business is tough. And Ellen DeGeneres is a, to you borrow Trump's word, she's a killer. All right, she really, really wealthy. She figured it out, and she leveraged it, and she is a ruthless businesswoman. So let's not conflate the two issues here. Being a very tough businesswoman versus being an incredibly likable show host. She's clearly good at both. But she came back and apologized. And I still can't figure out exactly what she apologized for. She says, I didn't realize, you know, I'd created an environment that was uncomfortable for some people, and for that I'm sorry and whatever. We know it wasn't a fireable offense because she's still doing her job. And yet she apologized. So what happened when she apologized? Same thing that happened to Chris Harrison, except Chris Harrison from The Bachelor wound up losing his job. When you apologize to the people all over you, you're done. You're done. And she gets to keep working, and her show's doing okay. She has lost over 1 million viewers this year versus last year. It's like 30-some percent of her audience. That when they heard the apology, all of a sudden this lady that we always just thought was this sweet, wonderful, her thing is always be kind to each other. I mean, her whole thing is be kind to each other. And then she had former employees say she's not that kind. And people left Ellen over this? Like, do you really think that you can run that? It's a major operation. You really think you can do that just by walking around every day being kind to people? No. Sometimes people aren't doing their jobs. Sometimes people are lazy. Sometimes people are being backstabbers. Sometimes people are pinching somebody else on the butt. And you got to kick them. And you got to fire them. And they got to go. And I've never met a former employee that wasn't in some way disgruntled. That's what came after her, was people that thought she was too hard to work for. And now viewers are leaving? That makes any sense to me. But I can draw the distinction between the two. I still like her. I guess I'd say this. She shouldn't have apologized, because nobody knows exactly what she apologized for, other than I say every day, be kind to one another. And there were times here at work as the boss, I wasn't all that kind. It sort of comes with being the boss. There's days that you're not going to be very kind. And yet people have left and are not watching as much as before, which is just kind of crazy. All right, the Between the Lines 2.0 podcast will be up later on Tuesday. If you would like to hear that with myself and Danny Klingscale, all you have to do is go to kkhasissues.com and sign up for as little as $5 a month. I put the patrons post up last night, sent that down with a great photo from the patrons party. So we do a newsletter there every week, two or three podcasts for the patrons in addition to the regular free ones. If you'd like more content, more programming, you can sign up for $5 at kkhasissues.com, and you will get the entire catalog of all the patron podcasts. You can actually go back and listen to them all if you'd like. We'd be honored to have you on board as one of the patrons. Again, just go to kkhasissues.com, hit Become a Patron, and sign up, and you'll get the BTL 2.0 that we put up there a little bit later on Tuesday with Danny Klingscale. Thank you so much for listening. Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.